Once you have a handshake with somebody and you forget it, that means you don't really care about that person. So you've got to put forth the energy to remember the handshake and just do it every time you see that person.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble. We're going to be looking back at Wednesday's five games here, previewing a very busy Thursday. Eight games on the slate for Thursday coming up. Michael Bolton, he's ready.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Let's start where we always do on this show.
Monstrous line of the night.
And the monstrous line of the night goes to, no surprise, Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns, who has had back-to-back 50-point games. 37 minutes for Booker, 50 points with 10 boards, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a block. He shot 66% from the field. He was 90% from the line on 10 attempts. Over the last month, he is the 6th-ranked fantasy player. I've said a few times that I think that he can be maybe a top 15 guy next season. Well, if what he's doing over this last month is any indication, he'll be better than that. I don't think he's quite in first round discussions yet, but over those last 15 games, 32, 5, and 6.5. Okay, the 32 points is high, but could he be a 29 point scorer? Yeah, maybe. 2.3 triples, 1.1 steals, 47 and 89, and importantly, the 89 on 10 free throw attempts per game. That is really elevated. I say to focus on this so much because when a bloke is getting that many free throw attempts and can hit them, it's a huge part of what they're doing in their game. He needs to keep the assists up. I don't think that he won't be able to do that. He's averaging 6.7 despite this team refusing to believe in him as the point guard. And it's the steals. If he can get to 1.5 steals in the top 10, it's absolutely there for him. The scoring and the usage at 36% over these last 15 games, 32 points, that'll probably come down at some point. He did average usage of 32% all of last season and averaged 25 points. He's at 26.5 points this season on 32% usage. Efficiency is rising, and he's doing all of this while shooting under 33% from three for the season. That needs to go up. But even in this stretch over the last month, he's still shooting just 33% from three. So he's got a massive, massive element to be able to improve that free throw shooting, or sorry, that 3-point shooting, which is going to make him, you know, borderline first round guy next season. I think we feel decently confident, or I feel decently confident in him being able to get to that level.
Waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night is Bruno Caboclo of the Memphis Grizzlies. He got a few awards the other day. He's rostered up into 5% of Yahoo League, so that takes him out of the Deep Leaguer of the Night award. But 37 minutes for Bruno. Didn't break his career high again in scoring, but 17 and 13. 3 triples, a steal and 2 blocks from Caboclo. 3 assists as well. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He has been, over the last week, a top 90 player, averaging 13 and 9. The field goal percentage is up at 46%. The 3-point percentage is up as well. He's really starting to look good. And as I said the other day, I don't see him not being the starting power forward for the rest of this season. I don't think they're going to be going with Ivan Rabb in that role. I'd be pretty stunned if Joakim Noah comes back and plays any sort of decent role for this team. Bruno is the man. If you're looking in a 12-team league, look, it's a little bit tough because he doesn't play Thursday or Friday this week, but he does have a Saturday, Sunday back-to-back. So for the end of this week, that could be really key. Have a look how it all breaks down on your roster. Are you looking for a guy that can score a little bit and get some defensive numbers? Because that's what Bruno's doing at the moment. And he's available in a lot of leagues. And I do think that we do have to be paying some attention to him at this point as an option across even 12-team formats, just with the way he is playing and the minutes they are pumping into him and the positive return that the Grizzlies are getting. So when you're pumping those minutes in, the guy's playing well, they'll want to see what he can do over these last 6 games or so for the rest of the season. So, big, big stuff from Bruno Caboclo, absolutely providing an option, but doesn't play for the next 2 games. So that is something that you do need to pay some attention to. Today's podcast is brought to you by Wyze. Wyze is an indoor camera, does it all, and it's spelled W-Y-Z-E-W-Y-Z-E, depending on where you're from. It's packed with premium features allowing you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. You get 1080p full HD images so clear you'll never miss a thing, night vision, two-way audio. It's the best way that you can get these amazing smart home products is by using Wyze. You can check your home at any time by using the Wyze app's live stream. They have a free rolling 14-day cloud storage as well. It's not a subscription service, so you can get in there and get this storage going and keep a track on whatever you want. You want to check your garden to see if raccoons, I know that's a problem for you guys, are coming in and eating your tomatoes. You want to check on your babysitter to see what's happening with your kids when you're not there. Wyze can do all that for you. And if you want more, for just $10 more, Wyze can give you a 360-degree coverage. Life moves fast, so your camera should too. The way you can do this is by going to wyze.com/locked. That's Wyze, W-Y-Z-E.com/locked, to get the guaranteed lowest price. Go and check out Wyze, support this podcast, and get yourself a great product for just $20. Let's move on now to the deep leaguer of the night. That goes to Dragan Bender of the Phoenix Suns. I was big on Bender for the first couple of years of his career. I thought, I can see a player developing here. Not for fantasy. I didn't think he was a very good fantasy player at all, but an on-court guy. He struggled, and I was sort of, maybe he is out here. But now in his fourth season, he's still relatively young, just turned 21 a couple of months ago. He's starting to put it together, and today's performance was decent from him. 31 minutes, 12 and 6, 3 triples, a steal, and 2 blocks. That's the sort of thing that I thought maybe he could do with a little bit more regularity. The minutes are up. He's played 30-plus minutes in 4 of the last 6 games, scored in double digits in 2 of those games. He's blocked a shot or more in 4 of those 6 games. Now, it's really just a deeper league sort of situation, but over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 200 player. So in 16-team leagues, 18-team leagues, 20-team leagues, you need to pay attention. I don't think Tony Warren Jr. is returning. I'm not sure about Josh Jackson. I don't know about Tyler Johnson. I'd be pretty doubtful that he returns. Oubre is not coming back. So 25-plus minutes for Bender moving forward is not an unrealistic expectation. I think it's something we should actually be expecting for him. And he's starting to produce as a bit of a block specialist, a blocks and threes streamer, a very, very light Kristaps Porzingis sort of a player. That's what we're getting from Bender at the moment. And it is worth noting, I don't know what's going to happen with his NBA career after the season, whether he ends up somewhere. I'd like to see him get an opportunity to be a backup big man and get 20, 21 minutes a night and be maybe an 18-team league guy. But he's at least starting to put things together now at this point in the season, even if his future no longer lies in Phoenix. Don't forget, guys, that when you are subscribing to this podcast, to check out the new podcast app, Himalaya. That's where you should be going to subscribe to all your favorite podcasts, including this one and other shows across the Locked On Podcast Network.
Young Gun of the Night.
The Young Gun of the Night, my man, Tommy Bryant of the Washington Wizards. 40 minutes, 18 and 19 here for Bryant. He hit a game-winning, I don't know if you call it a game-winning three, but it was, he hit a late three for the Wizards in their win over the Suns. 18 and 19, 2 triples, a steal and a block. Didn't shoot that well, but took a lot of shots. And interestingly, he played 40 minutes, while Punch Bob only played 23 minutes. I think that Bryant, I've been saying it for the last couple of games, probably last week or so, he is a must-add player at this point. He's still rostered in only 49% of leagues, needs to be rostered in more of them. I thought he could be close to a top 20 guy for this week. We'll see how that goes with just 2 games left. He's got the Jazz and the Nuggets on Friday and Sunday, lower volume type days as well. He is a must roster player for the rest of this week. He is averaging over the last 4 games, 16 and 11 in 35 minutes with a block on 57% shooting. You do have to watch the free throws at the moment. They're poor, but over the course of the season, he's a 79% shooter. So which one of those is real? I'll take the extended sample size rather than the last 4 games. I think he's a pretty decent enough shooter and he should be rostered. Is he the starting center on this team next season? Well, if Dwight Howard, who is out for the season, picks up his player option, then there's going to be a battle. But I'd love them to just give that role to Bryant. He's better than Bobby Portis, in my opinion. I'd like to see that happen. So I think that his dynasty value, it's not too bad. I think top 100 for him next season is a decent expectation. In only 20 minutes a game this year, he's the 139th ranked player. So give him 27 a night, he'll smash that top 100. But there are a lot of things to happen in this NBA offseason. But strong performance from Tom Bryant here, no doubt about that. I tell a man's not hot. The dud of the night is Dennis Schroeder of the Oklahoma City Thunder. He'd been playing really well up until this game, but 21 minutes for 3 points with 2 rebounds and 3 assists and missed all 7 of his field goal attempts. It hurts. It hurts a lot. The 21 minutes hurts in particular because he'd been playing 30-plus a night. He's a guy that you do need to watch your field goal percentage, and the last 2 games shooting over 62% were obviously anomalous, and he combined for 51 points and 10 assists in those 2 games. That was unlikely to stick, but he played 36, 38, 32, and 37 minutes in each of the last 4 games. In fact, he hadn't been as low as the 21 minutes he played in this one I don't even know how far back I'm scrolling here, to the 17th of January. This is the lowest minutes total he's had since then. He is a real worry in the field goal percentage area. You do have to really bank on that or pay attention to that with your team. He gets absolutely no steals, but for points, hitting some threes, getting some assists, he can be valuable, and I wouldn't let this completely scare you away. They do play 2 more games this week, the Thunder, on Friday and Sunday, so Schroeder can remain an option in leagues despite this rather lean performance. The GOATs, that's what I'm looking at. The GOATs of the night, Zach Collins was a plus 78.2, played more minutes than Enes Kanter. We'll see how much of that was the blowout, but it is something that I did mention and predict that because he plays power forward and center, he'd probably end up with the same or more minutes than Kanter. While the worst net rating went to a man who doesn't deserve to be starting NBA games. Sorry to you, Brandon, and your family. Brandon Sampson of the Chicago Bulls, not negative 80.8. It was always going to be the case when you put into a role that you're not ready for, that he was going to struggle, and he struggled. I think that is fair to say. Time to move on now and talk about these games in a little bit more detail. Actually, no, we're not out for that yet. Let's talk some injury news, because we've got to talk about Noah Vonleh first. He will be out for the next week. I think his season's done. That gives deeper league appeal to It's-a-me Mario Hezonja, who's been starting in his place. Very deep league value to Lance Thomas. But the big story, of course, is Lauri Markkanen, who won't return this season. Now, I'm going to use this a little bit to get on my soapbox. Lauri Markkanen isn't soft. Kawhi Leonard isn't soft. There is absolutely zero chance that these players are going to the team and saying, "Coach, can I like not play now? Because I'm just a little bit tired." There is zero chance that's happening. All of these teams and the Lakers have advanced analytics departments. Well, sorry, excluding the Lakers, have advanced analytics departments. They are monitoring factors that predict, you know, potential injury, fatigue levels, drop-offs, all this sort of stuff. They are looking at this. The Bulls have got nothing to play with. He suffered, Markkanen suffered an irregular heartbeat, tachycardia, that was causing him to feel fatigued, and the test came back normal. But he's going to be undergoing more tests, which I assume means he's going to be wearing a Holter monitor, one of those things you've got to strap to your body for a full 24 to 48 hours to see what's going on, to monitor your heart level and your heart performance while undergoing daily activities. But one of those is not playing basketball. So when you've got a problem with your heart, again, checked out clear, but they want to make sure, you're not going to be playing in meaningless games for this franchise. The franchise doesn't want you playing. Why would he want to mess with his health? And again, it's not him saying, "I think my heart's a bit fast, I don't want to play." It's him saying, "Something's not right here. I don't feel myself. Figure out what's going on." And then say, "Well, there's no need for us to play you here." Same with Kawhi. He's not saying, "I need to rest every second game here because my leg's sore." It's the Raptors protecting their investment for the playoffs, for the future, for, you know, showing that they take care of him. It's not a matter of these guys being soft and, "Oh, they're all such pussies back in the 80s. They would have been decapitated and that head would have gone around and blocked a couple of shots before dying." It's not like that. This is people get smarter, people get better, people take better care of themselves and look more to the future. You can talk about having the pride of playing all 82 games. That doesn't mean shit if your career ends 3 years earlier, or in those extra 10 games you play, you're worse. And your team performs worse, and it has a deleterious effect on your franchise, on your team, on your teammates, and on your personal health. So it just really pisses me off, all this, "Oh, this is all soft, it's so soft." Cool, that's great. You go and do it, and let's see how it all works out. Anyway, as for Lowry, he is done for the season. Otto Porter, I think he's done for the season. Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, be pretty stunned if those guys return. So there's a ton of value opening up in Chicago, but their schedule for the rest of the week, shithouse. Shaq Harrison's the one you want to look at. They only have one more game this week. Wayne Seldon, another option. And then in deeper leagues, you're looking at Antonio Blakeney, Ryan Archer, Jack Ano, Chris Felizio. Robin Lopez is remaining a 12-team sort of guy. But again, they only play one more game this week. So if you can stream 4 games in that roster spot versus 1 game of Shaq Harrison, you stream 4 games in. It's a pretty easy decision. But if you're in a situation where you're playing into next week, look at how the Bulls schedule and how it fits amongst your team and where these guys sit. But Markkanen is done for the season. We hope there's nothing wrong with his heart. There probably won't be, but it makes absolutely no sense to take any risks at all with your potential franchise player at this point in the season. So, you know, hopefully everything goes well for him for a speedy recovery. Now, let's talk about these games in a little bit more detail as we look through the five games from Wednesday. All right, so the Warriors, it was close for a little bit. They got past the Grizzlies 118-103. Big games for most of the big names here. Steph had 28, obviously, with 10 and 7. Durant, 28 as well. Boogie was solid, 16-9-6. The three steals and three blocks really come in handy there. Draymond did what he does, only the 6 points, but filled up those other categories. There's very little to talk about with this Warriors team from a fantasy point of view. Jordy Bell was suspended for this game for conduct detrimental to the team, but he'd been really falling out of the rotation anyway with the arrival of Andrew Bogut. For Memphis, another big game for Jonas Valanciunas, 27-13 with two blocks. He is really putting the foot down at the moment. These were the numbers that we thought he could put up in his time in Toronto and was always held back. He's putting them up now. Mike Conley returned, 22 points with 8 assists. Or Justin Holiday helped with the steals, obviously. 3 triples as well, 5 steals, are really good numbers there. Very little else, but at least the minutes are back up for him. I'm not really certain that we're going to see Avery Bradley again this season. So I do think that helps Holiday, who becomes a back-end steals and three sort of a guy, more of a 14-team league player. Tyler Dorsey, he's a huge chucker, this guy. 8 points on 3 of 9 shooting, but DeLon Wright didn't do any better. 5 points on 2 of 10 shooting. He still added the 5 assists and 3 steals there, DeLon. I'd prefer him over Dorsey. I don't know why they're giving minutes to Dorsey override. It's confusing. Dorsey is a little bit younger. Maybe that's the point there. But they're both more fringe guys. I'd prefer DeLon in a 12 and Dorsey in a 14-team league. Bruno, we talked about already, 17-13 with 2 blocks. He's pretty close to a must-roster player at this point. The next game we take a look at, the Portland Trail Blazers and the Chicago Bulls. No Yusuf Nurkic, so predictably the Blazers did go with Enes Kanter starting, but also, I think predictably, I'm pretty sure I said this on the podcast, that Zach Collins would play more minutes. Now, some of that is to do with the blowout here as well, but it's also the fact that he can play both positions, power forward and center, and is a good defender. 25 minutes for Zachy, 13 points, 2 triples, 2 blocks. He does have 12-team appeal for the right team, while Kanter only 22 minutes, 13-6. I still think that Kanter is a 12-team league guy, but he's not going to be pushing towards the 30 minutes that Nurkic was getting close to. We also saw Myers Leonard in there. He had 4 and 4 in his 18 minutes, just a deeper league guy, while Lillard was really off. Just 11 points on 12 shots. The 7 assists and 6 rebounds are nice, but not the best from him, while Seth Curry's hot streak continued. 20 points with 4 triples in only 24 minutes. I think Seth remains a must-roster player, at least while CJ McCollum's out. Mo Harkless have been playing well, not so much here. 4 points in his 20 minutes for Flaming Mo. I think they will push him a little bit more in games that mean more. We've already talked about the Lowry Markkanen absence. This team, the Chicago Bulls team, no Chris Dunn, no Levine, no Porter, no Markkanen. So lots of big performances or big minutes from poor players.
Big Shaq.
Big Shaq Harrison, 30 minutes. 21-10 with 2 steals. I think with these injuries, which we've already got 2 guys who are done for the year, Markkanen and Porter, and I think that Levine and Dunn won't be too far behind. I think Harrison's a must-roster player. I think Wayne Seldon is at least... Now, I say must-roster for the Bulls. They do only have 1 more game this week, so you've got to weigh that up. But in a roto-type situation, if you're playing into next week, you do have to pay attention to these guys. Wayne Seldon, 11-12, a nice double-double. He's going to have value. Brandon Sampson started in place of Markkanen. He was shithouse. 4 points in his 30 minutes, 2 of 7 from the field. Not the greatest performance, really just a deeper league guy. While Blakeney and Luawu Cabarro can be some deeper format players. Same as Chris Felizio. But majority of these guys, outside of Seldon and Harrison, are more stream type guys. And even with the 1 game remaining for the Bulls, probably Big Shaq and Seldon are stream options as well. But they do have at least close to 12 team appeal with all these injuries occurring in Chicago. Next up, the Indiana Pacers, pretty comfortably beaten by the Thunder, 107-99. Miles Turner did well, 12-14 with 4 blocks, while Bojan Bogdanovic's hot streak continued, 28 points with 6 threes and 4 assists. Darren Collison was back, a little bit limited, just the 24 minutes for Dazza, 8 points with 6 assists. He'll be fine, but with him returning, Tyreke Evans and Corey Joseph both completely bottomed out. Evans only played 20 minutes and had 7 with 5 assists, while Joseph went scoreless in his 25 minutes. Not a big surprise there. Sabonis also put up a strong performance against his former team. For the Thunder, Westbrook triple-doubled, 17, 11, and 12 with two steals. Jeremy Grant, really, really good from Jezza, 19, 7, and 4, five threes, a steal, and three blocks. He'd been a little bit down over the last couple of games, but nice to see him bounce back. Same with Steve Adams, who's had a rough 2 months or so, but 25 and 12 with two steals and a block is absolutely massive from Adams, and you'd take that every day of the week. Well, Dennis Schroeder, who'd been getting 30-plus minutes a night consistently, played 21 and had 3 points. So much for him being a must-roster guy. 0 of 7 from the field. I think the minutes will bounce back up. It was just an absolute disaster from Schroeder in this game. Next up, we look at the Phoenix Suns and the Washington Wizards. The Wizards get the win 124-121 in Phoenix. Jabari Parker excelled, 28 and 15 with 3 assists. He played much, much better and much more minutes than Punch Bob. That's huge from Parker, who'd been really on the decline. Interesting to see them limit those minutes that Portis and Bryant did play together to give Parker those minutes. He is worthy of a 12-team spot. Tommy Bryant, 40 minutes, 18 and 19, game-winning threes, two triples, a steal, and a block, a must-roster player. The Wizards still have two games left this week, while Jordy McRae shot extremely well, 21 points, but 80% shooting. I think he'll get 15-plus minutes moving forward here for the Wizards, but I don't think that that level of production is sustainable. He is a better version of Antonio Blakeney for the Chicago Bulls, but Blakeney will probably get more minutes. They are just deeper league guys. As for Portis, is everybody who watches this show or listens to this show coming around to the fact that he's just not good? 6-9 in 23 minutes. He is not a starting caliber NBA player. In any dynasty format, if you can get top 100 value back, you do it without any hesitation whatsoever. While Troy Brown started again for Trevor Ariza, had 2 points in his 23 minutes. Just a deeper league guy. For the Suns, Devin Booker, 50 points again, 9 rebounds and 4 assists. Excellent shooting, 66% from the field. We know that. But I think, interestingly, Dragan Bender, 12 and 6 with 2 blocks, 31 minutes. Now, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. He's starting to come around. He's still really young. I'm liking what I'm seeing. It's for a backup big man, 20-minute a night sort of role on some team, but he is starting to put things together. It's making no impact on fantasy. DeAndre Ayton's really struggling at the moment, 14 and 10 in only 27 minutes, while De'Anthony Melton and McCall Bridges really just using those guys as steal streamers. Both of those guys had two steals in this game, but very little else. Jimmy Fredette out of the rotation, should never have been signed, should never have been in the rotation to begin with. And even if it means giving 30 minutes to Jamal Crawford, which is pretty disgusting in itself, I'd rather that than Jimmy. Crawford had 12 points with 7 assists, but he'd been out of the rotation the previous two games. Really hard to rely upon him for anything at all. And I really don't think we're going to see Tyler Johnson or TJ Warren or Josh Jackson, to be honest, for the rest of the season for this Suns team. All right, the last game of the day was the Utah Jazz hosting the LA Lakers. The Jazz win 115-100. JaVale was a monster again. He said the other day that he just started feeling 100% after the pneumonia. That's obviously the big reason why he had that big dip in form in the middle of the season. 16 and 13 for McGee with two blocks. Kuzma, the future MVP, 21 points. Nothing else, two rebounds. Oh, the two blocks, I guess, are a bit of a surprise from Kuzma, with LeBron James resting in this game.
LeBron James!
Flaming Mo Wagner had a big game too. You'd have to imagine that's because of LeBron's absence. Also, Mike Muscala was declared available to play, but he didn't get into the game, which is good. It should be just Wagner getting those minutes. Lance Stephenson started in LeBron's place. He was thoroughly middling. 10 points on 11 shots, 5 assists and 2 steals. He is just a deeper league guy, while Rajon Rondo was outplayed by both Big Sexy Alex Caruso and probably Scott Mercado as well. Caruso had 13 points with 4 assists. He's an intermediate-sized guy. I could see him in the next week or so playing more minutes than Rondo consistently. As for Rondo, just the 3 points, but 5 rebounds, 6 assists and a steal. They do still make him a back-end 12-team guy, but it's mainly when you're looking for assists. While Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was on a string of good games, it came crashing down here. 7 points on 9 shots with very little else. I do think he can remain a 12-team league guy for this short term. On the Jazz, Gobert was great, 22 and 11 with 3 blocks and 2 steals. Jingling Joe almost the triple-double, 11 and 9 with 14 assists. Big from him in the autism awareness game for his son, so shout out to you, Joe, for that. Ravishing Rick Rubio, 10, 5 and 8. I prefer Rubio to Rondo in a 12-team league. Jay Crowder also played well, but not a reliable source of action. Well, Derek Favors, 69% shooting.
Giggity!
20 points in 23 Mitchells, while the Donovan Mitchell, I'm not going to play the Is Don Is Good because he's not good at the moment. 11 points on 11 shots, couldn't hit free throws, 4 assists, a really disappointing decline in his production at the most important time of the season for fantasy basketball. That'll wrap it up for the games from Wednesday's action. So now let's transition and talk some DFS. All right, guys, let's dig into these games now for Thursday for the NBA, a weird 8-game slate in the NBA for Thursday. The first game we look at is the Orlando Magic taking on the Detroit Pistons in Detroit, a battle for those final seeds in the playoffs. The Pistons feel like that they're relatively safe in getting in. The Magic on a nice win streak. They need to keep winning, of course. The Pistons are 3.5-point favorites in the total, 206.5 here for this one. Injury-wise, I think we're pretty okay in terms of guys we need to check on with their statuses. Let's go to the point guards. Reggie Jackson got 31 minutes last game. He'd been mired in the 24-minute range for the last 4 or 5 games prior to this one. He's a little bit hard to trust at 5,100, while Ish Smith, who'd been getting the other 24 minutes, was down at 17. So that minute split that Dwayne Casey's throwing out there can be a little bit confusing, and I think both those point guards are probably fades. DJ Augustin at 5,900, I really like his floor. Now, the Pistons have been really good at limiting opposition point guards all season, but DJ has played well against them in the past. He's on a strong run and a close spread game. I imagine he plays 30-plus minutes, and he exceeds that value. While Carter Williams has had a couple of okay games, but realistically, it's only when we're looking in blowout-type scenarios that he's a guy to look at. The Duck Luke Kennard's at 4,500, too inconsistent to me, and I think the upside's too low. Terry Ross at 5,000, really like that as a tournament play. Significant upside in Ross for cash, not as reliable. While Fournier has been playing at a much better level, 5,600. He has a very good record against Detroit. He's going to have to be lent on pretty heavily here. I do like him quite a bit at that 5,600 price point. For these small forwards, there's absolutely nothing that I'm interested in here. Johnny Isaac I like, and he had a big game last time out for Orlando. I don't fully trust him, though, and at 5,700, it's too much to spend up on when you don't trust it. At power forward, Aaron Gordon's at 6,600. His production has been down of late, but I like Gordo here at that really reduced price point to bounce back, so I think that's a good salary for him. While Griffin's at 8,800, love Blakey there. I think both of those power forwards are in strong spots. While the centers, you got Drummond at 10,200 and Vucevic at 10,100. I think both of these guys are worth looking at. I would prefer Vooch over Drummond. You save $100, and I actually think that he's probably in a more consistent sort of spot with maybe marginally lower ceiling, but not that far off. But the floor is significantly higher for Vucevic over Drummond, so that's the direction I would go with that center matchup. On DraftKings, I like the Duck at 3,900. That's really low for Kennard. Drummond at 86 and Vucevic at 85. They're both in play there. Again, I marginally lean towards Vucevic at that $100 cheaper price, but they are both in play. And the 4,500 for Reggie Jackson at least gives him some level of tournament appeal, while Blake Griffin at 7,900 is a smash cash play. Really, really like that for Griffo. And DJ Augustin at 52 is a pretty strong situation there for him. Next game up, we're looking at the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers. No spread or total released for this game at this point. Benny Simmons is likely to play. He's going to play. He missed last game with an illness, while Mike Scott, Prison Mike, and James Ennis are both questionable. If both of those blokes are out, it's really going to have to up the load on TJ McConnell. Even though that's weird, we'll see him play some point guard with Simmons pushing up to power forward. You'll see some more Shake Milton. You'll see some more John Simmons, and probably some more Jonah Bolden in there as well. But no one who I think is really going to make any sort of DFS impact. At point guard, Spencer Dinwiddie is at 5,800. He has really done well against Philadelphia in the past, 37 over the last 3, and he's been a little bit under in his last couple of games, but I do like him as at least a tournament guy here. Simmons is at 9,800. That's pushing a little bit too high for Simo. I think that he's probably in fade territory there. For the shooting guards, LeVert's at 5,200. He's played well last game, but it was an overtime game and played only 24 minutes. That does not give me much hope. Alan Crabb is out of this one, but that hasn't really changed much for LeVert in terms of his playing time. Well, General Saunders, Jimmy Butler at 8,500 has been under in the last few games, rarely getting to his value mark. I think he's more tournaments than anything. Well, D'Angelo Russell is all the way up at 9,500, and rightfully so, because he's killing it. He's averaging 53 over the last 5. The Nets are leaning heavily on him. I don't mind him. I have a level of reticence with him in cash games, but still, with that, the way he's been playing, you have to at least consider him in those lineups. But I do think with eight games on, you're probably going to find a better one out there. At shooting guard, oh sorry, at small forward, you've got Damari Carroll at 4,700. I don't mind the cash floor for him as he's likely to be a starter here. JJ Redick's at 52, not interested. Smokin' Joe Harris similarly with James Ennis and Jared Dudley. And for the power forwards, Toby Harris at 73. I would much rather take Toby at 73 than Jimmy Butler at 85. Harris's shooting has been a little bit off. He's still providing 30 a game over the last three. I think that he can have a big one here. It is a really positive matchup for him. While Rowdy Rodion's Kurucs and Mike Scott, not really that interested in those guys. For the centers, Embiid's at 11-4. I love this. We love centers when they go up against the Nets. You're huge from Embiid. Massive opportunity. 11,400. Really could be a 60-point performance for Joel. While Jarrett Allen's at 6,000. I would lean away from that. And Boban, similarly. Let's look at it on DraftKings. Embiid at 10-4 is a real smash play there. I think Eddie Davis at 36 is not a bad cash option. He's been playing big minutes and getting good rebounds. Well, big minutes for that price point anyway, and really delivering. I think Benny Simmons on DraftKings comes in strong at 8,300. I like Dinwiddie a little bit more over there as well, while Jimmy Butler at 73 is a pretty strong DraftKings play, at least in comparison to his FanDuel value. The next game we take a look at here, we are going to the Mavericks. They are traveling to take on the Miami Heat. The Heat are 7.5-point favorites, and the total is 208.5. Justice Winslow continues to battle his injury. He's questionable at this point, but Josh Richardson also joins him on the injury list with a left heel bruise. We're going to have Scooter Magruder. He is out of this one with that knee issue that has been bothering him as well. For the point guards, the iron shoulder, Goran Dragic. Love the matchup for Dragic, and if both Richardson and Winslow are out, he is absolutely in play. Now, his production has been absolutely shitful over the last three games. 9.9 points in 26 minutes. But we did see two games ago, he pushed to 29 minutes, meaning that he is able to play those extra minutes. It's not a minutes restriction. And if both of those ball handlers are out, Winslow and Richardson, he's going to have to play some extra. So at that salary that's come down, I really like Dragic here. The burner, Jalen Brunson, has been averaging under 20 the last five at 5,200 in quite a negative matchup. I think that he is only for tournaments. Trey Burke, not really moving my needle at all. I love Dwayne Wade here. 5,800. They are pushing for the playoffs. He is riding a huge streak, averaging 33 over the last five. He's getting value in cash. He's getting value in tournaments. The minutes are up. And if those blokes are out, Winslow and Richardson, Wade's going to be relied upon even more. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a 35% usage rate in this game. So he could have an absolute monster here. Wade is at 4,500. Would also become a pretty strong cash option if at least one of those guys are out, Winslow and Richo. But if both are out, then we really do like Deion Waiters. Doncic is at 9,800. I just worry about what they're going to do in terms of playing time. He's been putting up numbers consistently, 52 points last game in 32 minutes. I just think there are probably better options out there than him with a little bit more certainty. Winslow would be a fade. Richardson's a fade because of their injury status. Justin Jackson started the last couple of games, but he is not that good, so I don't think we need to worry too much there. One of the interesting ones is Ryan Brokoff. He's a power forward listed player at 3,500 minimum salary. He's had a couple of decent games, probably more of a tournament guy, but I imagine his roster percentage will be pretty low. Kelly Olynyk and Bam Bam Adebayo.
Bam Bam! Bam Bam!
Bam's at 71. I think that's too high for Adebayo. I think 65 would be okay for him. 71 is pushing a little bit too far. There are better options out there. Olynyk is as hit and miss as they come. He's a GPP option. While Maxi Kleber, I actually like what Kleber's doing at 5,000. His floor feels at least decently secure with some tournament upside. So I do like him. Dirk, not really. While Dwight Powell is all the way up at 7,100. Now, Powell has been playing obviously really, really well. He had 52 points last game, and I don't dislike him here, but the matchup is somewhat of a negative against, or centers against the Heat. Speaking of centers, Hassan Whiteside's really tough to rely upon because his minutes are just all over the place. So I don't think we should be looking at him as any sort of option. Over on DraftKings, I like Bam Bam a lot more there. 5,800 for him. Dragic is in play. I love Doncic at 8,400 on DraftKings as well. Brokoff at 33 has got some of that upside value. Dwayne O'Wade looks pretty good. And Powell at 59 is really strong, Dwight Powell, over on DraftKings. Next game we look at, the Toronto Raptors taking on the New York Knicks. Kawhi Leonard is out.
I'm not tired.
The Raptors are 12-point favorites. You'd imagine that will come in a little bit. The total here is 217. I would imagine Kyle Lowry's minutes will be reduced in this one. Danny Green's minutes will be reduced. You'll see lower minutes for Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. While for the Knicks, Dennis Smith, he's officially listed as questionable, but he said it's unlikely he's going to play in this game. You've also got the Fort Kevin Knox as questionable. Alonzo Trier is also sidelined. Well, Noah Vonleh is out for the next week. OG Anunoby has escaped a concussion, so he's probable to play, so he could see minutes increase with Kawhi out. It could be him, it could be Norm Powell, it could be Jeremy Lin, it could be Pascal Siakam, it could be Jody Meeks. Nick Nurse could do really anything in this situation with Kawhi out. It could be Freddie VanVleet. Actually, I imagine it will be Fred VanVleet that does start in Kawhi's absence. Speaking of VanVleet at 5,400, I'm all about that. I think he can be a 30-plus point guy. It's a positive matchup for Freddles. I think they'll limit Lowry as well. I really like that. Lowry at 68 himself, you'd love it in a normal scenario, but does he play 30 minutes? Probably not. That would give him more just tournament value. While Manny Moutier is all the way up at 6,600. That's pretty high. Now, the guy's putting up good numbers. Smith is unlikely to play. Trier's not there. I think 6,600 is okay, at least for a tournament for Moutier. Lin, I'm not really interested in. Dan Green's a strong fade. Well, Damo Dotson's at 57. Limited upside for Dotto. I think that for cash, though, with what he's been doing outside of the occasional Fizdale brain fart, has been relatively reliable. McCaw and Meeks, I don't really see much with them. Mario Hezonja, though, it's a me, 4,100. He's been starting. He's getting upper 20s in the minutes. His last couple of games have been pretty low, but I think that will reduce his roster percentage. I think it gives him an opportunity here to give you 25 or 26 pretty comfortably, maybe 30, and that's not a bad value play as a starting power forward. As for the Fort at 5,000, he is a GPP guy, but a GPP guy only. While Storm and Norman Powell at 4,000, I do like him as an option with Kawhi out, but I think some of that does depend on how that starting lineup looks for the Raptors. At power forward, Siakam tends to go off in these scenarios. 7,500, you've got to love the matchup. You've got to love Pascal. Serge Ibaka's a fade. It's hard to rely upon him. And then at center, Marc Gasol, also a fade.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Just can't trust what he is going to do, how the minutes are going to be shaken out. But 6,400 for Mitchell Robinson. Last game, David Fizdale gave DeAndre Jordan all the minutes he can handle because he's playing his former team. This isn't his former team, so hopefully he goes back to Mitchie Robinson. Of course, there's no way of trusting anything that Fizdale does at all because he could say one thing today and then literally in 24 hours' time do the exact opposite. So Robinson remains more of a tournament guy. Jordan at 6,800, I don't really feel that as being a good play at all. On DraftKings, Freddie VanVleet. I think Kadeem Allen's an interesting $3,500 guy on DraftKings. Moutier, Robinson. Robinson at 44. Now, that's really impossible to avoid, I think, on DraftKings. That's strong. Hezonja at 42 over there as well. And Pascal at 75. Not as interesting, Pascal, on DraftKings as he is on FanDuel, but interesting nonetheless. The next game up on the slate, the LA Clippers at the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are 8.5-point favorites, and the total is 232.5. The Bucks, of course, dealing with injuries. Nikola Mirotic, Malcolm Brogdon, Tone Snell. So we're likely to get Sterling Brown starting once again. For the Clippers, Landry Shamet missed last game. Patrick Beverley left last game early. They are both questionable. Beverley said that he won't miss time, but we've heard players say that before. But that is something to watch. If both of those blokes are out, you get Garrett Temple more minutes, more baby neck minutes, a little bit more usage for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Maybe you get some Ty the List Manager Wallace, get some extra playing time in there as well. At point guard, Bledsoe's at 7,700, dropped 43 in 29 minutes against the Rockets. This is one of his former teams. He's a little bit hit and miss, Bledsoe, but I don't dislike him here. While Shamet at 39 is not doing it for me. Shea's interesting. 5,300 for Gilgeous-Alexander with an opportunity for perhaps more touches and more minutes coming his way. I actually like him in this one, despite the matchup not being the greatest. For the Bucks shooting guards, Sterlo Brown at 42. He had 31 last game. I'm in on him. Paddy Connaughton at 51. I'm also in on him. They're going to get a lot of minutes. They're going to get a lot of opportunities. So they're both interesting to me. While Chris Middleton absolutely shit the bed last game. It wasn't just a nice solid shit as well. It was a wet shit. He had shot about 20% on 23 attempts. Only 24 points. But at $7,000, that could mean a real turnaround. It's a big $600 price drop for Middo. So I do think that he becomes a really interesting bounce back candidate in this one. Louis Williams at 7,300. Really strong floor that could actually get boosted if Beverly's out. At small forward, Yanni's at 12.4. Now, that's a lot of cash for Antetokounmpo, but we know that he's a 60-point guy. The matchup favors him here as well. I think that the Clippers will keep it close enough that Yanni's got to play enough minutes, so I like him quite a bit at that elevated salary. While the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari, 7,400 for the Italian cock. He's averaging 39 points over the last five I'm in on him. I think that his floor is absolutely solid at the moment. 35-point minimum over his last five. Really, really strong. Ilyasova's at 38. He's just a GPP guy. The table Montrezl Harrell at 78 is too high for me. And then at center, you've got Brooke Lopez at 6,500. We know we love centers against the Clippers. This is a center against the Clippers. So Brooke Lopez, I think he's in play here. Or if it's a Zubats at 4,800, just not enough upside or not solid enough of a floor for me to really get too excited about. On DraftKings, Sterlo Brown, Yanni, Connaughton, Lopez, Bledsoe, all of those guys come in looking pretty good, as does Shea and the Italian Cocktanella Gallinari. Lots of value in this game on both sides. Let's go on to the next game. We're looking at the Sacramento Kings and the New Orleans Pelicans. No spread at this point. No total yet. We've got the No, we don't, because this is the two teams that had DeMarcus Cousins. They don't anymore. Maybe it's a Buddy Hield revenge game. I was going to say it's a Garrett Temple revenge game, but he's not on either this team anymore either. Was he even traded? No, that was a different trade. Scrap that. I just want to talk about Garrett Temple. Let's have a look at this one. FanDuel, Tone Davis has been upgraded to probable in this one with his back issue. Harry Giles is questionable, while Lord Alfred Payton is also probable. Of course, the Christian Wood experience, everyone got pretty interested in that last game. Davis returning is going to put a weird sort of spin on it. I think he will get over-rostered in GPPs. Doesn't mean you have to avoid him, but I just think that it might just go a little bit too far in the wrong direction. De'Aaron Fox is all the way up at 8,600. It's a good matchup for Foxy. Is that too high? I think it is. I think that's too high for Fox. He's been good. We know that. But I think that salary is pushing it a little bit too far. His shooting is way off. I think the 7,500 for Payton is off as well. While Bogdan Bogdanovic, the last two games, 30 minutes a night. He's only at 4,900. I like him here in this one if Jaeger wants to go to that similar rotation that he has used in those last two. With Frank Jackson out with a concussion, with Drew Holiday out, with Etuan Moore out, Ian Clark's going to have to play big minutes. Now, I am not the biggest Ian Clark fan, but he has to at least be in consideration here as a GPP guy. Now, FanDuel's proactively bumped him up by $1,000 to $4,500, so that takes a lot of the appeal out. At minimum salary, he would be a must-roster guy. He isn't minimum salary, so he isn't must-roster. Budrick Hield's at 74. I would take Bud over Fox. You save $1,200. They've both been struggling a little bit, but I think the differences in their production doesn't necessitate a $1,200 price difference, so I'd take Buddy in that scenario. At small forward, Stan Johnson, Nemanja Bjelica, Kenrick Williams, Darius Miller. There's just a whole bunch of guys that I have no interest in this game. Well, we've got the pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. He's at 5,400. That is rock solid for cash with absolutely no upside, but I do like it for cash for Barnesy. At power forward, Tone Davis is at 74. Really hard to trust that. Marvin Bagley, the rookie of the year at 7,600, played only 24 minutes last game. He'd been crushing it prior to that. I think that salary might be a little bit too high, but the matchup's a great one for Bags, so I think he's a strong GPP guy. Julius Randle's at 8,400, just too high, while Chrissy Wood up to 5,500. To me, that eliminates so much value in Wood. How are the minutes going to shake out? He played 32 last game, but say Tone Davis comes back and plays 21 of those. Now, you could think that the 10 minutes or so that Okafor played will come off and go to Tone Davis, or will they just say, well, that was your one option, Woody. We've given you an opportunity. Let's see what someone else can do. I'm not into him at that 5,500. I could be wrong. Now, Wood can be a really good per-minute producer. I think he's a better player than Jahlil Okafor. He could be a better player than Cheick Diallo. He probably is a better player than Cheick Diallo, but there's a lot of uncertainty at that sort of a salary. As for Diallo, not interested. Cauley Stein's at 6,500. Big minutes last time, the previous two games, low minutes. 6,500 is too expensive for a guy that I don't have a huge amount of trust in. On DraftKings, Clarkie is at 3,700. Big on Clarko at that sort of a salary, while Woody at 4,100. The Woodsman, I think you got to look at him as a really good GPP option in that scenario. Bogdanovic is at 47. Bags is at 7,000. Both of those guys are interesting. While Foxy at 76 on DraftKings is way more in play to me than he is on FanDuel. The next game that we take a look at, the Denver Nuggets at the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are 5-point favorites here. The total is 218. The Nuggets pushing for that one seed. The Rockets coming off a loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. Injury-wise, Malik Beasley is questionable. He's sitting out for the birth of his child, which has been born now. We'll see whether he returns. Last game with him out, they just fed all of his minutes onto Paul Millsap, onto Gary Harris, onto Will Barton, onto Jamal Murray, introducing no one new to the rotation. Eric Gordon was disgracefully bad last game. That ankle injury is obviously bothering him, but he is only listed as probable, so likely to play. At point guard, Chris Paul's at $8,000. I think that's too high for Chris, maybe for tournament, but even then I don't think the upside's quite there. While the Blue Arrow's at $7,000. Last game was a nice return to form for Murray, but there are better point guard options out there. At shooting guard, Jimmy Harden's at $12,000. I'd probably rather spend up for Antetokounmpo rather than Harden, but we know that Harden's almost a 50-point floor guy most nights, although that has reduced a bit over the last couple. Eric Gordon's a no from me. Malik Beasley, Monty Morris, Rivers, Shumpert, Craig. I'm not interested in any of those guys. At small forward, you got Danny House at $4,000. He's only a GPP guy. I don't really feel that great about it. Same with Gaz Harris. Same with Farton, Will Barton. If I'm going to take one of those guys as a GPP guy, it will be Barton, but not interested in cash. Millsap at $7,300 as a power forward. Look, his shooting's been really off lately, but produced some good numbers last game, 36 points. I think that's still a little bit too high with a $500 price rise, and Tucker's not interesting to me. While Clint Capella's up to $8,400. It's probably a little bit too high here for Clint. Not a bad price, but not the best. While you've got Nikola Jokic at $10,500. I'd rather take Jokic at $10,500, to be honest. He's got that 70-80 point upside that I'm not sure Capella really possesses. On DraftKings, Capella, a different story. I love it at $7,100. I love Chris Paul at $7,000. Harden's at $11,100. Good value on all those guys. Same with the Blue Arrow at $62,000 and Jokic at $97,000. The last game of the day, we're looking at the Cavs traveling to take on the Spurs. The Spurs are a massive 13-point favorites. The total is 218 points. There is a bit of blowout risk here, of course. Matty Dellavedova out again with his concussion. Derek White struggling with his shot, but still averaging 28 points over the last three despite not hitting any shots. At $6,500, weirdly, they've bumped his salary by $800 despite struggling. The matchups are positive, but I only really trust it in tournaments at this spot. While the Padawan Colin Sexton's at $6,300, his lack of anything outside of scoring limits his DFS, and you can look at his numbers and go, well, he's scoring 20 points a game in, think, 8 out of the last 9 games, but for DFS, his highest score is just 33. Like, he just can't get enough to really push himself into a big area, so I don't like his value at that salary. DeMar DeRozan's at 88, feel pretty good about him. He's been putting up consistently good numbers. While Jordy Clarkson's at 57, I would take him over Sexton and save that $600. Rudy Gay's at 64, really hard to get full trust in him, maybe just for tournaments. Bertans, Osman, not really interested in those blokes. At power forward, LaMarcus Aldridge is at 93, am interested in him, love what he's been doing, really consistent sort of numbers. While Larry Nance came off the bench last game, that doesn't worry me too much because he played the 30 minutes. It's the $6,900.
Giggity!
Salary that probably steers me away there. While Kevin Love's at 83, just a GPP guy, he can easily drop 60, but I don't have trust in it happening. Tristan Thompson's a no from me. While Jakob Poeltl at 5,000, I don't really see a huge amount of value in Poeltl in this matchup against Cleveland. Now on DraftKings, I like White a lot more there. Nance at 54 is really, really strong, as is Aldridge and DeRozan. Some good value from all of those guys. Let's look at some studs and some values. On DraftKings, I'm going with Yanni as my stud, and my value play is Fred VanVleet. On FanDuel, my stud is Yanni, and my value play is Fred VanVleet. On Yahoo, my stud is Yanni, and my value play is Ian Clark. Almost got you there. Guys, make sure that you are subscribing to this podcast, and the best way to do that is by the new Himalaya podcast app. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Spotify, and by streaming, by telling your smart device in your car to play the podcast Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Check out today's sponsor, Wyze, by going to wyze.com/locked to get your best price on your home camera. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Kelly Oubre Jr.